I grew up a little geek, taken to castles and cathedrals, brought here, indeed, by my parents, vivid for a Mott and Bailey, eager for Arch and Ambo. My destiny was shaped before I even knew it. Aged 11, I had to produce a school project. School friends, sensibly, made radios or mapped out Leeds United's path to glory. But this was the year of the Prince of Wales' investiture in Carnarvon Castle, so geekily, I wrote a history of the Princes of Wales. I think I was probably installed as Dean of Westminster 50 years later, out of pity. What really interested this historian, though, this historian in short trousers, was the First World War. I'm not quite sure why that was, possibly because both my grandfathers fought in it, one in the Royal Flying Corps, one in the East Lancs, captured at Passchendaele. They never spoke about it. So, of course, I wallowed in stories of bravery and battles with no real understanding. Some of it stuck. It was always a point on my compass. Which meant that years later, working in a Cambridge college and friendly with an Australian research fellow, a man called Peter, I was alert to the fact that the First World War loomed very large for him. Or rather, Gallipoli mattered. Mattered in a way that I just did not recognise. He went to those beaches and those memorials, and he had me intrigued. It has taken me far too long, but I am grateful now to their excellencies, the High Commissioners of New Zealand and Australia, that have had this chance to read and to reflect and to know a little bit more about what my friend Peter knew and understood. Learn about Gallipoli, and there are stories of bravery and of battles, of course there are. There's an edge to our remembrance today, because this is the 25th of April, the day of the landings, the day the fighting began on the slopes of the Dardanelles. For the benefit of the very few people here who were not brought up on this story, the landing went wrong. Currents took the troop ships too far north, and Anzacs landed not on a broad beach, which is what they expected, but in a cramped cove and had to fight their way up ravines and gullies. Shrapnel Valley, Monash Gully, up towards higher ground. By mid-afternoon, Turkish troops under the cool and brilliant command of Mustafa Kemal were counter-attacking along the entire front. There was no rest, no lull, never a pause in the whole of that long day that started at the crack of dawn. How we prayed for this ghastly day to end. Attack and counterattack for days and days as they fought each other to an exhausted stalemate and then dug in to face a sweltering, sickly summer and a bitter winter. Remembrance. Part of our task today is to try to remember the reality of that bitter experience. We're here to tell the truth, to tell the kind of story that my grandfathers might recognise about a war and about its cost. The story I didn't know all those years ago. That, though, is only part of the story of Gallipoli. It's not what took Peter there. One of the books I've been reading brought me up short when it called Gallipoli our Westminster. Those beaches, gullies, and hills are a shrine and a place of national memorial. Anzac came out of young nations. It was an unhesitating, brave, and then sustained commitment to the wider world, a turning outwards, a refusal to be apart. It was, the writers agree, a national coming of age. The first war heroes won their medals above Anzac Cove. The shock of shattering casualties, bereavements, and mutilations were a national baptism in blood. The letters, diaries, and war reports began to record a different history for these nations. And that, I think, is why Peter went to Gallipoli. In a story that I guess is familiar here, but which was new to me, Padre T.P. Bennett described hearing a night sentry challenging passers-by in the dark. Regimental names had to be shouted back to the sentry. Who are you? Bucks. Pass, Bucks. Who are you? Gurkhas. Pass, Gurkhas. Who are you? West Kent. Pass, West Kent. Who are you? This time there was no regimental name. The unknown soldier in the dark shouted back at the sentry with an instruction that he should do something essentially anatomical and actually quite difficult. And the sentry did not miss a beat. Pass, Australian. New Zealand and Australian fighting alongside Bucks, West Kents, the Gurkhas, near the French, at war with equally committed Turkish troops, fighting, remember, for their own soil. This really is the sort of story that forges the identity of nation in relation to nation. Loyalties and hostilities, horror, bitter victory, bitter defeat. This is the big story that escapes the little boy collecting just a few facts. This is where we get to grips with the hard story, with the sort of experiences that can threaten to overcome us. It's where you discover if you can cope when you know that you're not in charge and that circumstance can be really cruel. The theme of this service is remembrance, recovery, and renewal. Well, the remembrance we've begun. We work at getting past bravery and battles in order to tell the hard story. Many of you know that Gallipoli story much better than me. You can really remember that. What you may not know is that you heard another war report this morning. That reading from Zephaniah describing Judah in the days of King Josiah, days when empires fought and fell. An Egyptian army marching north to take on the Assyrians. Josiah leading his army out against them, killed in battle in 609 BCE on the plains of Megiddo. Little Judah finding its place amongst the nations and being mauled. Zephaniah remembered and did something quite remarkable. He stared it in the face, told the really hard story, called it what it was, a tragedy. Not bravery and battles, but shattered hopes. Most of the book of Zephaniah is a howl of agony, a lament for a world gone wrong. A day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. But as the book closes, we hear a different voice. Shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. Zephaniah knows that you can only tell the whole story if you tell the truth. You have to go to the plains of Megiddo or to the heights of the Dardanelles and see just how bad and bloody it can be. You have to remember honestly. Then and only then can you speak of recovery and renewal. To navigate from here to there, you must speak about this accurately if you are ever going to persuade us that we might be able to get to that. Our High Commissioners today want us to remember the hard story, and then they want us to pick up the threads of our story in the midst of this pandemic. Honesty is required. There have been failures in our COVID crisis. We have not suffered equally, and our disparities are greater than they were. There has been quiet heroism and a lot of duty done. There's also been some posturing and an occasional cavalier attitude to truth. There's been so much isolation, distance, and depression. We must note that, see the best of us and the worst of us exposed, and then commit with fresh energy to bridging the distances between us. The truth, a commitment to the wider world, a growing respect for others. These are the hallmarks of this day. We remember Anzac, the core, the cove, the long, dreadful battle. We'll tell the truth, lament, and recall the act of loyalty that tumbled young nations out of a national story and into a world epic. We will tell the story of difficulty and the ties that bind, the story that the people of Turkey took up in their extraordinary commitment to a common remembrance. Recovery and renewal are also a common task, an act of honesty and an act of loyalty. So with Anzacs and with Zephaniah, we look now to the task of shaping a better future. The Anzacs can remind us that it will be tough. Zephaniah assures us that it is possible, because before ever that this was our task, it was God's. It is God, ever the same, who wills us into the way of truth and the way of reconciliation. Amen.